Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's OMF on EEI.
All right, back here on Patriots Friday and OMF, time for our weekly get-together with Mike Lombardi, sponsored by Town Fair Tire, by Zuti. Build any apps your company needs in a week. Visit Zuti.com for details, and by McFarlane Energy. Check out McFarlane's new customer oil delivery special at McFarlaneEnergy.com. And joining us live on the Harbor One Hotline is indeed Mike Lombardi. Hey, Mike.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. How are we doing?
Good, Mike.
Hey, Mike. Well, we're in a different position up here, Mike. It's the first time we've seen the team under 500 in the month of October since Fourier was on the team back in 2002. So it's a little bit different. Should we throw out last week because they really couldn't practice during the week, or is this team in a little bit of trouble?
Well, I mean, I think they couldn't practice, and it looked like they didn't practice. I mean, their execution was horrible. They couldn't throw the ball effectively. And, you know, they didn't play well in any phase. I mean, other than just being good in the red zone was really the thing that saved them and kept that game close. And as bad as they played, you know, they're one play away from winning the game. I mean, if Cam throws the ball out there for Bird to catch, you know, they could win the game. But that's, you know, you can't play that in the game. Their offensive line was a mess because of the injuries. I think that you got to be concerned about how they're playing. You got to be concerned that there was no practice, and they've got to show some marked improvement in the next couple of days.
Okay, so we can pile on the excuses for Cam Newton and how and why he played so poorly, but give me your assessment of him over the four games that he has played as a passer. Forget about him as a runner and what he can do when a play breaks down, but as a pure passer, how do you think he's been so far this year?
I think he looks uncomfortable. I don't think he looks in rhythm yet. I think that's part of the process when you've only had, 15 practices in the summer, no OTAs, no minicamps. I think he looks like a guy who's learning his way, walking gingerly through the jungle and not sure about the trails and not really cutting it loose and not feeling like he believes what he sees. I think this is commonplace amongst quarterbacks. I think, you know, practice is, even though Allen Iverson doesn't think it's important, it is important. I think he looks like a quarterback really unsure. I don't think you can say anything other than that. And I think they're unsure in terms of how they're going to develop within the system him. I think there's also that too, you know, and I think they have to get back to doing what he can do effectively, but that takes practice as well.
Mike, Gronk's been out of here now for a couple of years. We've just been trying to look at this tight end position. And even, you know, the last year or so when he was here, there was still enough rumors to talk about a possible retirement. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what this team has done, Bill or Caserio, as far as that tight end position. How do you explain how they've left it bare the last 2 years in an offense that we've always seen how much they involve tight ends? How have we gotten to this point?
You know, that's a hard question. I don't know. I mean, you know, the question I ponder is, is how is Ryan Izzo the only tight end that could really help them? There's got to be somebody, right? You know, and he's been on the team. I mean, you know, we had the kid went out with COVID last year, the kid that started, you know, played the blocking tight end. So, you know, I think it's a hard position to find. I think it's a difficult position to really understand what you want. You know, Gronk's an exception because he can play Y and he can play F. And most of these guys in the NFL that are catching passes, with the exception of maybe Kittle, typically just play F. I mean, Kelsey's just a big receiver. And if that's what you want to run with your offense, then that's fine. If the Kansas City has no problems with it. He rarely blocks at the point of attack. He blocks at support. So I think it's a challenge, and I think they have to, and they would be the first to admit it that they have to get better at it.
Yeah, but what about just the guys this year? So you mentioned Ryan Izzo, and, you know, I mean, he is who he is, so it's hard to bash a guy that's doing the best that he can, and in my opinion, has kind of reached his ceiling. Mm-hmm. But what about the other guys? You drafted two guys. Keane's a healthy scratch. Asiasi sees the field, you know, at a small level. He played all the reps after Izzo fumbled that football. So I'm thinking that's a sign, Mike. I'm thinking that they wanted to find a way to get Asiasi in there. They didn't trust him up to now. He probably has enough goodwill equity. And then if you pair that with Izzo's fumble, here's an opportunity for Asiasi to slide in and start being a part of the offense.
You know, I think if Asiasi had shown anything in practice where he was really dependable, I think they would have gotten him in there. But I think, again, there's no practice, so it's hard to really tell. And it's hard to really say, hey, let's go with him. And I'm sure he's struggling to get immersed into the system. As you know, a young player, a rookie player without practice, it gets overwhelmed by the volume of what he's dealing with in terms of the offense. And it just becomes massive. And, you know, Asiasi's a kid that has great skill. You know, when he's probably without pads on, he looks really good. But when the game becomes more physical and he's got to think and react and do all that, maybe he hasn't caught up to the speed of the game. But they got to do something at tight end. I mean, they can't do anything in the middle of the field. They can't create a mismatch at all. You know, and then when they do make a play, the kid fumbles. And I'm not blaming Izzo for everything. But to me, it's hard to believe that he's one of 32 starters in the NFL.
We're talking to Mike Lombardi. We've been throwing this theme around all week long that three quarterbacks on the field this Sunday, one of them could be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots in 2021, Cam Stidham and Jimmy G. I don't know what you think of Jimmy G. Belichick loved him, obviously did not want to give him up, but had to basically because of the cap number. Could you see Jimmy G coming back to New England and Bill Belichick?
I could. I mean, you know, he didn't leave on bad terms. It wasn't. I don't think anybody in that building, when they made the trade, thought Jimmy G couldn't play. I think there was the situation of that, you know, with Don G representing both Brady and Jimmy G, with Brady continuing to play at a level that really, you know, no one thought he would. When we drafted Jimmy G in 2014, who would have thought in the year 2020 Tom Brady would still be playing quarterback? No one. No, now maybe Tom did, but I don't think anybody could honestly answer that question. So I could see him coming back. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think, you know, Kyle, when he went into the Jimmy Garoppolo experiment, wanted Kirk Cousins.
Right.
I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, for all you want to say about him as a 49er fan and how you're overpaying him, you would have done twice as much damage had he been able to get his hands on Kirk Cousins. So, you know, Jimmy's at least prevented that, and he takes a lot of heat for their play and their inability to throw the ball, but they don't have a drop-back pass game. This game on Sunday is really about how the Patriots can stop the run, how they can play from in front, and force the 49ers to throw the ball from a drop-back set, which is something that Kyle's never really been great at doing. He doesn't have a lot of scheme in that area, and so that's what I think they have to do. And Jimmy has, you know, done a good job last week at what he was asked to do. I think it's possible.
Well, we know the money, and the money is like $28 million next year. They can get out with $2.8 million of dead cap money. So they're going to have to make a decision on Jimmy G at the end of the year. But is Kyle's system the issue right now with Garoppolo? Shouldn't he be better than what he has been?
I think Kyle Shanahan's system is very quarterback friendly. There's no doubt about that. And especially when the running game is going really well. And, you know, I thought when he got benched 2 weeks ago, I'm not sure that was performance related. I think that was really injury related. He did not look like the same player. I don't think he looked like the same player. And last year, and the year he got the big contract, he's played well. I think consistency is probably Jimmy's biggest downfall. He doesn't play consistently enough week in and week out that he should do based on his talent level.
You know, Mike, you were just talking earlier about, you know, when I asked you about the tight ends, you said it's difficult to find one, and I would agree, you know, there's not too many great tight ends out there, but I would say the last 2 or 3 years, it hasn't been too hard to find wide receivers when you look around the league. So where are we at with those? Because I look at the tight ends, and then I look at the wide receivers and say, you know, N'Keal Harry, Edelman's beat up, and it's just the last 2 or 3 years, it seems like they've come into the year. Now, they've been able to pick up guys like Sanu and Antonio Brown and Josh Gordon, but going into the year, it's always like this plan is like, there's just not enough there.
Hard to, you know, I mean, I think if you were doing, if you were really honest about the Patriots' evaluation of wide receivers over the course of their tenure, I think they would be the first to say they haven't really nailed it down. I mean, you know, it's been challenging. Look at all the receivers drafted. Look at their, you know, drafted Deion Branch, who was a really good player. But other than that, you know, trade for Randy Moss and, you know, sign Danny Amendola, get Julian Edelman in the seventh round as a conversion, trade for Wes Welker. You know, so I think, you know, it has been a concern. It has been, you know, opportunities. You know, they had Brandon Cooks trade him away for him, get the one back after the year that he had. So I can't disagree. I mean, you've got to be – they have to find a way to become more explosive. They've got to become find faster. They can't continually just always, when teams play man-to-man, lock on them and not have any separation.
So, Mike, so where – as far as, you know, there's the top-tier teams like the Steelers and the Chiefs, right, in the AFC, and then there's like a couple rings down where you may have, you know, the could-possibly-do-it type teams. Do you still have the Patriots as a playoff team as far as where they're at right now? Like right now, do you think they're a playoff team?
Oh, I don't. They're not a playoff team if they don't improve. I mean, not with the way they played last year. I mean, you're asking me right now. You're quantifying it. Do I think they're going to play like this? No. But you want the answer based on right now. I mean, you obviously know the answer you want to get. Is there's no way anybody could think they're a playoff team the way they played last weekend.
Okay, so Nobody knows anything about football, but
the reality is they've got to get better. They didn't practice for 2 weeks. I think the Steelers are an elite team. I think the way the Steelers play, the way Tennessee plays, this is the first time, this will be the fifth time in the National Football League that two undefeated teams have met this late in the season. And every time the winner of the game goes to the Super Bowl. So the Titans-Pittsburgh game, I wrote about this for The Athletic today. It's going to be an interesting game. But look, I'm not on here shilling for the Patriots because I think Coach Belichick would say the same thing. They got to get better.
So you think they will get better and they will become a playoff team? Is that
I do.
Easier?
I really do. I think, look, Buffalo, we were going to put Josh Allen in the Hall of Fame 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we had his gold jacket. We measured it. We tailored it. You know, he had a speech already. He was headed for camp.
No.
You know? And now all of a sudden, you know, now I'm not saying you guys were. I'm saying most of the media. I mean, I laughed at Kyle Brandt when he said that Josh Allen was going to be a MVP candidate. I talked about it on my podcast, the Geo Shuffle. Then I laughed about it. Yeah, you know, and then after 2 weeks, I get people telling me, you're an idiot. He's going to be the – no, he's not. He's not accurate with the football. So, you know, the one thing about the NFL, time is always going to win.
So, last one for me. So, yeah, they could improve, right? They got a couple of big weeks here before this trade deadline, Mike. You know, whether it's San Fran and then Buffalo right there in your face. Like, if it doesn't go well, like, because everyone's talking about the Patriots as buyers. Is there a chance that someone like Joe Tooney could be moved or even Gilmore with the way you look at his contract and what you could get in return? Is there a chance they're sellers?
I mean, I think there. You know, I think the one thing with Coach Belichick, he's always a buyer and seller based on the deal. He's a deal maker. He's not a buyer or a seller. He's a deal maker. So whatever the deal comes across his desk that looks good, he's going to make it. He's not shocked. He's going to make it. And they're positioned next year to be in good shape. 2021, when most of these teams in the National Football League, let's take Atlanta for example. Atlanta's kidding themselves. They got no cap room next year. They're going to have to start reducing players off their team. Just to get under the cap. Philadelphia the same way. And, you know, you've got to prepare for that. That's what Minnesota did by them making their trade. They're starting on next year. They do what they do. Now, a lot of teams are going to take this money this year, the excess money, the $60 or $70 million that the Patriots have this year. They're going to just roll it over into next year so they have even more money.
All right, Mike, we'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.
Thanks, Mike.
I hope it's better next week. I can tell you that, guys. Thanks a lot.
If it isn't, a lot of ugly talk, maybe trade talk. See you, Mike. Mike Lombardi on the Harbor One Hotline right here on OMF.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Do you still have the Patriots as a playoff team as far as where they're at right now? Like right now, do you think they're a playoff team?
Oh, I don't. They're not a playoff team if they don't improve. I mean, not with the way they played last year. You're asking me right now, you're quantifying it. Do I think they're going to play like this? No. But you want the answer based on right now. I mean, you obviously know the answer you want to get. There's no way anybody could think they're a playoff team the way they played last weekend. I'm not on here shilling for the Patriots because I think Coach Belichick would say the same thing. They've got to get better.
Mike Lombardi, I'm not sure. They're a playoff team, they're not a playoff team. They have to get better. I think we all agree with that. Where are they, though? I mean, the game against Denver, you can kind of write some of it off because lack of practice. You can look at the Kansas City game and say they were very much in that game. Brian Hoyer just killed them. Seattle, they were 1 yard away from actually winning the game. So what the hell are they?
Well, see, but it's like, okay, so they need to get better. Of course. Okay, that's a given. Okay, but do you think they can get better?
How?
And if they can get better, how much better can they get? Like, what is their ceiling? So based on what you've seen, based on all the history, all the football you've watched, and the personnel that they have, and what you think those personnel guys can do, do you think they can get better? Okay, well, how much better? And if that better, what is that level? Is that a playoff team? Because I can tell you right now, I think even with their limitations, I still think they're a playoff team.
But see,
there are seven teams now in the playoffs.
Okay, but
yeah,
an extra shot.
I'm just saying, there's teams out there that you could say, you know, how do they get better? You know, and Tennessee's going to get maybe all their wide receivers back. Now they're undefeated. But I'm just saying, there's other teams like you saw, like New Orleans. I was just telling you, Emmanuel Sanders got put on the COVID list. Michael Thomas is still out. Okay, so you're waiting for those guys to kind of get in the field together. They haven't been really all year. Where have your injuries been? Like this
offensive
is
offensive line.
Okay, but I'm just talking about, we all admit they have to throw the football better, correct? They have to move the football. They have to become more explosive of an offense. But the personnel you have on your team makes it impossible for that to happen, doesn't it?
Well,
we're going to wake up tomorrow and all of a sudden it's going to be the Damir Bird, Nikhil Harry, Julian Edelman show.
No.
Right, Izzo?
But a lot of it comes back, as Christian said last week, to the quarterback. So is the quarterback capable of being a lot better? Because if he isn't, they're not going anywhere and they won't make the playoffs. If what we've seen in the four games is what we're going to get for the rest of the season, I'm not sure they can make the playoffs. He's got to be a lot better. It's got to be more than just him running the football.
I know, but I just question how much better he can be. Now, and I know when you look at that film from the last game, you could sit there and say that these guys were indeed open. But this is sort of like Brady last year. Like, how good can he be given what he has around him? Nothing has changed. It's worse this year. Like, it's worse. Like you say, Denver's offense is brutal. Well, they missed their number one running back, their first number one tight end, who's having a really good year, and their number one wide receiver. What's your excuse? Like, I don't think you just wake up and all of a sudden these guys all of a sudden turn into a more explosive team throwing the football. Like, this was the plan. Like, this was it. This was your tight end room. This is your wide receiver room.
So what happened to the fact that Cam Newton was going to do a better job with these receivers because of his running ability, and therefore he would give time for these receivers to get separation?
Well,
instead,
happening.
What we're getting is Cam Newton is holding onto the ball, getting sacked, and not getting the ball to those receivers. Just the opposite is happening right now. I think a lot of it is still on Cam Newton. I really do. And I'm not saying that he has great weapons. I think you're right, Lou. He does not have great weapons to get the ball to. But, Christian, you brought it up last week. A lot of this is still on him.
It's he all just on him.
And he hasn't figured it out. I think Lombardi brought out a good point.
Not all on him.
A lot of it is on him. I truly believe that. But he does feel uncomfortable out there. Nothing is going in rhythm, in sync. It's almost like...
Let me ask you. Was last year all on Tom Brady?
Yes.
Was?
Yep.
You said it was the best year he's had in his career.
Again, all on him. And all on him. All on
what
him.
What are you talking about?
It's all on him.
Last year was not all on Tom
him.
Brady.
Talking about. All
the
on
offensive
Tom Brady.
Line was a mess like it was on Sunday.
Yes.
The weapons are worse this year than they were last year. And now all of a sudden it's all on Cam? Like,
all,
listen, I know he wasn't great
Cam.
In this game, but I'm saying, like, I think it's going to be impossible for him to be great given what he has to play with. Like famous woman once said, you can't throw the ball and catch the ball at the same time.
Oh, stop it.
Now
with
say it with
like
a Texas
proverbs.
Accent.
Is that a Chinese proverb?
My daddy once told me that you can't catch the ball and throw the ball at the same time.
So much
you can't
better.
Do both.
So much better.
All right, let's get to the phone calls. And we got to figure out why they're not going to allow fans at Gillette Stadium. Because anybody notice the National Football League? A lot of teams now are having fans in the stands. They're not having fans in the stands here. We'll get to all of that and more right here on the Patriots Friday edition of OMF.
I'm just looking for Columbo in here with his trench coat to come in with a cigar and be like, I don't know, something's up. He'd sound like that.
That was a really Columbo impression? Oh, my God. That sounded nothing like Columbo. I don't know who it sounded like.
We're
going
to get you guys here.
Glenn, you know who he was trying to do?
Christian. Ooh.
He was out. You were obviously doing your Edward G. Robbins.
There you go. Very good. That's exactly what it was.
People stop me all the time and say, Christian's Edward G. Robbins
is
impeccable.
See, we're going to get
But his Columbo is god awful.
I can't even do a Columbo. I feel like.
We know you can't watch Columbo.
We just heard it. I feel like that's what Columbo would sound like.
Yeah, you were off
for
about 35 years, I think.
Yeah,
Edward G. Robinson. He's right. Ryan nailed it.
You got to give me an example of Edward G. Robinson, who I never even knew his name, but now I know that's the voice I was trying to replicate.
So would you should
it what? Still worked? It worked.
So what you should do is you should when you do these impressions, you should realize who you're doing.
No, I kind of you know me. I kind of have my own spin on everything.
Yeah,
I think I really I do a good Glenn and I do a country Edelman. I feel like I could do a good country Edelman now.
And an Edward G. Robinson now that you didn't realize you had in your repertoire.
We're going to get. Was he a bad guy or a good guy?
He was a bad guy.
He was a bad guy. I thought he was a cop.
This is Mark. Yeah, in person. And to what am I indebted for the honor of this call, Mr. Hellinger? How are you, sweetheart? Say, Ed, I caught that new epic of yours last night at a sneak preview.
You mean a plot case of murder?
Say, tell me, how'd you like it?
Happy
as a socceroo.
It sounds old. It sounds like he's got a record back there. It's just like with the old school.
You know, I've been wanting to get into an honest to goodness comedy for a heck of a long time.
Yeah, see? I'm going to get the bad guy, see? I am a bad guy.
617-779-7937. We go back to the phone calls here. Steven in Westboro. Steven.
What's up, guys?
What's up, guys?
What I want to know, two things I want to know. Why the Patriots have not gone out and gotten anybody.
What do you mean?
Like, so far this year?
Why haven't they got anybody? I mean, you've got AB may possibly going to Seattle.
Right.
You've got the running back going to KC, which they don't need any help. Seattle doesn't need any help. But yet the Patriots haven't done a damn thing. And for me, this game here, Cam is on a very short leash.
Okay, so you're with Lou then.
Yeah,
you're team Lou.
Absolutely,
you're team Lou.
If they really care about the season at all, and Cam comes out the way he did like last week, I mean, I'm pulling the plug on him right away. it just doesn't make any sense.
I think he's going to get at least 2 weeks.
I think last week was the 1 week. I don't think he should get two more. Your last week was atrocious. It really was bad.
They had no practice all week, Steven.
Steven, you don't think that last week is worth, you know, maybe just giving him the benefit of the doubt, seeing that he missed 2 weeks and the team didn't practice? And like, I'm at least willing to give him that. Now, if he repeats that performance this week, yeah, now we're talking Buffalo. He could be pulled in the middle of that game, and maybe Stidham starts against the Jets.
No, Lou, I'm telling you, I think after the first quarter, if he's the same way he was last week, get him out.
I will say this. 2 weeks from now, if they lose these two games and Bill does become a seller, and let's say Gilmore gets traded or whatever, is the fan base going to go ballistic here? Are they going to freak out?
If what?
If they deal players away 2 weeks from now at the trading deadline, because if they lose these two games, would it surprise either one of you that Bill suddenly looks at it and says, we've got all of this money right now. The league cap number might drop to 180 or 175 million. We're going to be in better position than anybody else. The Atlanta, and Lombardi said it, the Atlanta Falcons are going to have to dump half of their team next year. And Bill's going to be right there just picking up the loose ends.
I think that the fans will sit there and go, well, Bill's doing what's best for us. We got to have faith in him. He knows.
Okay, that's what Fitzy will say. What will the other people the fans say?
Well, I think they're all the same. I mean, are there different categories? Are there hardcore Fitzy types?
Well, the guy like you just had right there.
Glenn.
The guy you just had right there.
Guys, if Bill goes and adds two or three pieces, he's a genius. If Bill trades two or three pieces and sort of plans for next year, he's a genius. Okay? So Patriot fans are just preparing for anything and to just go along because they're sheep and that's all they are. So they don't have an opinion of their own. So it doesn't really matter, right? But I personally think they're closer to selling off pieces. You're talking about, you know, teams and maybe taking advantage of it. Sure, we don't know what the hell the salary cap is, but, you know, I don't believe Joe Tooney's part of the future here in this organization. I don't, especially on Wenyu, the way he's playing,
right.
6th-round pick. You're going to save, what, $14 million right there.
Yep. You got him on a rookie contract, 6th-rounder.
I don't think Steph Gilmore is going to be playing football under a $7 million contract with a $16 million cap hit.
Right.
So I don't think he's going to be here next year. The only way he is if Bill opens up the checkbook again and gives him a 3-year extension at 15-16 per, which I don't see happening.
I don't think that happens this year. So, because you would basically have to assume that they realize that they're out of it, and let's do a whole baseball trade. Let's get something for it because we're really kind of putting on the season, anyways. I think they're going to be in this till the end. I mean, they're gonna be hovering around 500. Now, if they lose the next two games,
that's what we're talking about.
2-5.
I don't think they'll get to 2-5. I think they're winning
3-4
on Sunday.
They lost in Buffalo.
We were going on the premise that they lose these two. Obviously, if they win these two or they even split these two, Bill's not going to give up on the season. He can't give up on the season. We understand that. But if they lose the next two and they're 2-5, Christian, what do you?
Yeah, but okay. But again, okay. Do I have
use that premise?
Does Cleveland? Do they bounce? Do they get worse? Does Buffalo, do they get worse? Are all the divisional winners?
Well, Buffalo doesn't because Buffalo beats you in this premise.
Well, okay, but you still have, there's still three slots.
Are you trying to sneak into the postseason?
Yes.
Is it that important?
Yes, because I'm Tennessee. I'm the Tennessee Titans.
What do you mean?
I can't throw the football. I have an okay defense. I have a strong running game, although it's four guys.
And you have a good offensive line.
You're going to surprise like Tennessee did last year in the postseason?
The tight ends are better
than you. Telling me?
I use four.
The wide receivers are better than you.
I use four guys. I use four running backs to equate. It's like a Megatron. It's like Voltron. It's like five pieces to beat one.
But they actually drafted a young wide receiver that's good. They drafted a tight end that's good.
See, I think they're going to make the playoffs, so I'm not going to deviate from my opinion. I mean, you have him winning four games, so of course you have him selling everything.
So we get no, but I'm just saying.
Oh yeah, he moved up.
You say like it's like a baseball trade. So if the Red Sox are sitting there petering, you know, a couple games out of a wild card, add to this team because it's important to make the playoffs as a wild card. No,
it's different. It's
the Celtics are sitting there as a 9 seed. Danny needs to go out there and add. They got a chance to be the 7 or 8 seed. You can't give up on the season. No, you don't hear those things here. Bruins fans, they're on the outside looking in by a game or two, playoffs, you know, whatever, 5-6 points, but they can make it. No, like it's not, it's, I don't know, maybe things have changed, but I didn't think around here it's important to just sort of be that last playoff team I don't think that that should be that important for this organization to get so much success.
It's not like a valuable goal or whatever. I mean,
so why is it then?
Internally for that team, it probably would be pretty good. I don't know.
Why are we treating it like one? They got a shot of being 9-7, and they could get into playoffs. So they got a 8-8. They might have a shot. They should build for this team. What are we talking about?
We already
when have you ever said that about any of your teams in this city?
We already talked about this in the offseason. This was a bridge year. Okay.
So nobody was looking at this. Do it the right way then. Don't go half-ass. Yeah.
Nobody was looking at this season and saying that they're going to be a contender. This was a bridge year. They have tons of money. They have flexibility. They need to find a quarterback. And I'm not sure they have found that quarterback yet. So they have to find a quarterback, and then you start building in 2021, 2022 with all the money that you've got. My buddy Michael is in Lynn, City of Sin. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, man, how you guys doing?
What's the matter, man? Good. You sound tired today. You okay?
I'm bummed out.
A little worried about you.
I'm disappointed in Bill Belichick. I really am. All the excuses I've been hearing all week. Coach, why did you guys play pathetic? The dog ate my homework. That's all you got for me? That's all you got? Excuses? 11th in the conference, the greatest coach of all time.
Yeah.
11th in the conference.
Yeah.
Yeah, is there a problem with that?
11.
Bottom third of the roster. Nobody last week at all said how fast Denver is as a team with their speed. Nobody said that, but everybody was have a problem
they didn't
with
practice
them now.
All week, though.
They're going to lose. They're going to lose to San Fran 27-17. They're not good enough.
Okay, I'm with you.
They're not good enough.
You're going to be okay? You need any help? You're all right?
I'm fine.
Okay. You sound really down.
He sounds like Devin McCourty is what he sounds
usually
like.
Sounds up. He usually attacks me. He comes right at me, and today there was nothing
it's
there.
It's weird for Dev to call in and just shred his
own
team.
It's crazy. Oh, it's Mike. No, I'm sorry. It's Jane.
You love Coach Subway.
I'm telling you. Here's Orlando in Boston. Orlando.
What's up? I'm going to talk to you, Big O, because you're the person I heard say this. You said, I just like, I can't believe, you know what you're talking about when you say this, you said Cam Newton hasn't been good, but then again, Cam Newton got no receivers. It's like saying, snap me the ball without no snapper.
No snapper.
Orlando, do you think?
Peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Do you think
he got no peanut butter and jelly?
Okay. That's good. I like that analogy, too.
Give me one more.
I always like food analogies. You know that.
I'm serious. Like, what are you talking about?
He hasn't been good enough.
Hello. If you ain't got no receivers, yo, what are you talking about? Sometimes their whole offense relies on Cam Newton scrambling. What do you mean he hasn't been good enough?
He hasn't been good enough.
The receivers haven't been good enough. Yo, their best offense has been Cam Newton. Do you realize that? Do you realize when he scrambles for 20 yards, that's their biggest play of the game?
No, yeah.
How you going to blame Cam Newton, brother?
Now I got Orlando yelling at me in place of Michael. So listen.
Because you don't sound right.
Listen,
you sound
the
like
one thing.
Lynn.
The one
no,
thing.
I didn't say
the,
that,
the one thing
you sound like you're from Lynn.
The one thing we know that Cam can do is run with the football, okay? But he can't just run in a football for this team to win, can he?
But you did say this. Just correct me if I'm wrong. You did say you don't have nobody to throw to, though, right?
Yes.
I don't think he has great receivers. No, he's got poor receivers. We know that. He's got no tight ends.
You know you don't mess up, right?
No, I didn't mess up. I didn't mess up at all. He's not that good right now. He's got to be better than this.
You don't blame the receiver because they can't help it. They suck. You blame Bill Belichick. How are you going to look at that receiving core and not say something ain't right here? And you're supposed to be a genius. Genius my ass.
Love Orlando. Orlando, you're right. Listen, we even asked Mike Lombardi basically two separate times about the tight ends. And he's like, good question. But the wide receivers, they know they need to evaluate them better. I mean, here we are. You know, you always talk about life after Tom Brady. You know, how would Bill leave it? You know, when we say, well, you could tell that like Tom is on his way out because they're starting to develop this team. They're on a running team. They're putting the money in the defense. And this is how they're going to survive without Tom. And they still, you know, have the ability to still draft, you know, draft a tight end. And draft wide receivers to maybe help the next guy. Like, did you think that this was the plan after Tom Brady? To still have the same old crappy-ass wide receivers, to not have a tight end, to not have an NFL tight end for the next guy? And that was going to try to make the guy who came in after Tom look good?
Yeah, I can't answer the tight end question.
Or the wide receiver question.
Well,
D'Amir Byrd.
Well,
are you serious with D'Amir Byrd? He's a good three or four tops. He's your number one.
Well, first of all, he shouldn't be the number one receiver.
Well, he is.
I have no problem with D'Amir Byrd because they needed speed at that position. N'Keal Harry and the failure of a first-round draft pick, that's a bigger a piece of the puzzle here, Lou. That's the biggest problem you have, and that you have an aging Julian Edelman who can't move those chains the way he did in the past. Can't do it right now. Or the quarterback can't get it to them.
You've had just three consecutive like amazing wide receiver drafts, and you came out of it with N'Keal Harry. Man.
Yeah,
that's
N'Keal
what you
Harry
came
thing,
out of it with.
He has got to turn around.
Wow.
And get his game together.
Wow.
I remember at the beginning of the season we talked about this, and Christian took the position that the Patriots would have fans in the first game of the season at Gillette Stadium. So we have another home game coming up on Sunday, and there'll be no fans in the stands at Gillette Stadium. But I look around the rest of the league, the New Orleans Saints, who threatened, by the way, to move to out of New Orleans, Baton Rouge, to play their games there. And suddenly the Saints, New Orleans welcomed them back and said, no, we changed our mind. You can have fans in the stands. They are now the 19th NFL team to allow fans in the stands. So I asked the same question. When will the Patriots have fans at Gillette Stadium?
Well, I mean, based on the way things are going, never. Ever.
Not this year.
Ever. Not this year, based on the way things are going.
Department of Public Health announced today 19 new COVID-19 deaths, 968 confirmed cases. Positivity rate is still pretty low at 1.4%.
But the daily one today was 6.1, and that's the highest it's been in a while.
Right.
You know, and listen, you can talk about the expectations of what's going to happen in the fall in Massachusetts. We see an uptick, obviously. But it's, you know, there was a time when everything was under control and it wasn't going to happen, right? So now you've got your excuse, you know. Now you start to see the spike coming up. I don't see it happening. Like I don't see it happening here in New England. Right now, this weekend, Jets, Las Vegas, New England, and both LA teams, Chargers and Rams. Those are the five teams that don't have fans. Everybody else this weekend will have some kind of fans.
But notice where it's happening, and I'm not trying to get political on anybody, but it is political. So the red states are the ones that are opening it up for fans, and in blue states, they are taking a much different approach.
We got a Republican governor.
He's got an R next to his name. Come on. Do you truly believe he's a Republican, Charlie?
Yeah, Baker? But listen, it'd be different if we were still sitting at, like, you know, 1%. You know what I mean? And you'd be like, okay, what are we doing? It's under control, and isn't now the time. But given where we are right now in the last few days, week, I don't see it happening.
I don't either. It's just not going to happen. We're not going to have fans the rest of the year. This hour has been sponsored by Window World of Boston. Call 1-800-NEXT-WIN today. We got an hour to go, gentlemen. We'll get back into the Patriots. How important is this game on Sunday? Is it a must-win game for the Patriots? We do it next.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.